finally, purgatory. It is an article of the Catholic faith that purgatory is for the souls of the just who at death are still burdened with venial sins or temporal punishment due to sins. What may come as a surprise, the most explicit teaching in sacred scripture about purgatory is found not in the New, but in the Old Testament. But as with so many revealed truths about life after death, the text occurs in one of the books rejected again by the Jews and Protestants. And you may be sure this was one reason why the book was rejected. In context, Judas Maccabeus had led the Jews in a successful battle against a certain Gorgias. The battle ended toward sundown on a Friday, because the next day was Sabbath. The surviving Jews waited until after the Sabbath to pick up their slain comrades. And as the sacred author says, bury them with their kinsmen in the sepulchres of their fathers. While gathering up those who were killed in battle, the Jewish soldiers found under the coats of the dead some idol amulets which had been taken as booty from the defeated pagan army by the Jews who are now slain. Quote, all plainly saw that for this cause they were slain. Yet the relationship, having done wrong, so, unlike the survivors, they were killed. Then they all blessed the just judgment of the Lord, who had discovered the things that were hidden. Jews were forbidden, strictly, to take such amulets after battle. Amulets being, well, small forms of idol worship. As a result, Judas Maccabeus told the survivors they should pray, asking God that the sin which the slain had committed might be blotted out. Then follows a long exhortation by Judas Maccabeus, and the full text occurs in the second book of Maccabees. The valiant Judas urged the people to keep themselves free from all sin, seeing what happened to those who had sinned. After this, he took a collection from them individually. He went around asking for a collection, amounting to nearly 2,000 drachmae. That's a lot of money. And sent it there's the collection, to Jerusalem to have a sacrifice for sin offered. An altogether fine and noble action in which he took full account of the resurrection. Now continues the inspired author, Theseus, more than a century before Christ. For if he had not expected the fallen to rise again, it would have been superfluous and foolish to pray for the dead. Whereas, if he had in view the splendid recompense reserved for those who make a pious end, the thought was holy and devout. That was why he had this atonement sacrifice offered for the dead, so that they might be released from their sin. Unquote, the inspired author of 2 Maccabees. Belief, therefore, in a place and state of temporary purgation was part of historic Judaism before Christ. And when I wrote my college textbook on Judaism, I did a lot of research in Orthodox Jewry and found out Orthodox Jews to this day believe in purgatory. Good to hear that. In the New Testament, St. Matthew quotes the Savior as saying, "Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him either in this world or in the world to come." Matthew 12:32. Consequently, by implication, Christ is saying there are some sins that can be forgiven after death. The fathers of the church, for example, Saints Augustine and Gregory the Great, so understand this passage in the Gospels. We know the sin against the Holy Spirit is final impenitence, which demands eternal punishment. That's the sin that will not be forgiven. A person won't be forgiven either in this life, or if the person dies unrepentant, in the life to come. But provided a person has repented before he dies, he may have to expiate his sin in purgatory, but he will be spared the pains of hell. I found 5 beautiful, quotable passages about purgatory. The saints were extraordinarily aware of the existence of purgatory. And the late council makes much of this article of our faith on 2 counts. First, as we struggle and strive to become holy, what are we in effect doing? They are trying to become more and more sinless. A perfect description of growth in holiness is to call it growth in sinlessness. In other words, we who are so prone to take venial sins for granted now need the reminder that God is just and He punishes with extraordinary pain the sins that have not been either fully repented, if they were venial, or fully expiated after their temporal punishment when we die. I think I've consulted all the passages pertinent to the subject over the years. Here's one thing on which all the saints agree, speaking of purgatory. The pains of purgatory are worse than any pain we can experience on earth. We have therefore the option of either expiating our sins here or waiting for God to do it hereafter. Second reason why striving after sanctity should be so strongly motivated by our faith and fear of purgatory. The poor souls, as we call them, are those who, like us, had lived on earth, but had not fully satisfied the justice of God. The charity on the practice of which you are going to be judged on the last day pertains not only toward those who are still on earth. We are also bound, obliged to practice charity toward those who have left this world and are now suffering in purgatory. That's why yesterday, as you noticed, I did not, and I do not hesitate, to offer one of my three masses on Christmas Day for the poor souls. I cannot think of a more salutary and inspiring way to practice charity than to develop an extraordinary concern for the poor souls. Pray for them and especially offer for their speedy release from the purgatory. Oh, and hear it, the mitigation of their pain by our own patient endurance of our purgation on earth. And the beauty of our patient endurance of suffering on earth is that it has a twofold merit. One for ourselves, purifies us, expiates our own punishment due to sin, and contributes to the release from and mitigation of pain in purgatory. Let's close with a short prayer. Lord Jesus, our highest motive for serving you and doing your will is our love for you. But we believe you are also the God of justice who punishes sin. Inspire us, therefore, dear Savior, not only with a deep love of you, but also with a salutary fear of your justice, so that fearing hell, we may never, dear Lord, never, dear Lord, never lose your friendship by mortal sin. And that our fear of purgatory may help us to avoid even the least deliberate venial sin. We believe, dear Jesus, that nothing defiled can enter heaven. Make us, dear Savior, undefiled, so that as we approach the dawn of eternity, we may enter that heaven you have prepared for us. We beg, dear Lord, immediately. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.